Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
Well, Father Scully, thanks a lot. I really appreciate you somehow finding time to let us interview you today. I know you're on the bus tour and you got a million things to do, so thanks very much.
Oh, Ron, it's really my pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time.
All right. Well, my first question is kind of a big picture question. You've been immersed in Catholic schools your entire life, so you know the trend lines with enrollment better than I ever will. But the question I wanted to throw out right off the bat was, given those trend lines, what's your feeling about the state of Catholic schools in America today?
That's a great question. And it's not an easy question to answer because there's not a single answer. In some respects, there's a real renaissance occurring across the country for Catholic schools. Though I know the narrative is often kind of univocally negative, almost like an obituary. In fact, the story is quite much more complicated than sometimes the narrative would lead you to believe.
Absolutely.
So we're opening schools in many states, including my own home state, and in the South and Southwest. But it's true that in a number of states, the balance of the story is school closures and consolidation. In some of those cases, of course, that's salutary as well, because, as you know, many of these schools were built in ethnic situations where they're impossibly close to one another, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to sustain single schools in some of those neighborhoods. Nonetheless, what I suppose the overall trend line is one that absolutely leads us to the conclusion that these wonderful civic assets serving sacred purposes have to come up with a financial formula that's going to be able to allow them to serve the poor. Otherwise, faith-based Catholic schools will end up really only serving the middle, upper middle, and upper class kids. And, of course, that's not the kind of school system we want.
Okay. Well, talk a little bit more about that. How do you reverse the trend lines? I mean, what are some of the keys there?
Well, the absolute essential ingredient from our perspective is leadership. The most important person in a school is the principal. I hate to kind of trust that kind of obligation and responsibility on the principal, but that's really where the rubber hits the road. If you have a great Catholic school principal, the chances that you're going to have a thriving school are vastly improved. It's the principal who sets the expectations, the principal who sets the culture and the tone, the principal who hires the teachers, who are, of course, the rate-determining set for the learning environment. So I would say that leadership is the number one issue. Governance is also important. I think at this point we've come to the conclusion that generally speaking, not in all cases, but generally speaking, the parish school model where the pastor is kind of solely responsible for the well-being of the school is probably not the most functional way to organize the governance of the school.
Okay.
I think we've come to the conclusion as a church more broadly, and I think you see this across the country, that, you know, boards of limited or even specified jurisdiction are really the way to go and get lay people more motivated. And then, of course, finally, I do think that we need to be thoughtful about how we finance these schools.
Well, I think my next question dovetails with that third piece. How important a piece is school choice, and maybe more specifically vouchers and tax credit scholarships, to the revitalization effort that you and ACE are leading?
Well, thanks, Ron. You know, let me say this, that parental choice from our perspective, when I say our perspective, I mean the Alliance for Catholic Education's perspective at Notre Dame, parental choice isn't really about keeping Catholic schools open. Even if Catholic schools were robustly financed, which is, of course, not the case, we would still be hearty, robust advocates of parental choice for one simple reason. It's really a question of social justice. You know, I mean, it is so wrong to organize our school system in such a way that parents who happen to be able to afford only a home, a poor zip code, are condemned to send their children to what are often failing public schools. You know, I mean, So from, I don't mean to kind of skirt your question, but I do want to begin that way, because the parental choice movement isn't about saving Catholic schools.
Sure, sure.
It's really about social justice. Now, that said, parental choice is tremendously important for keeping our Catholic schools open and accessible to those parts of the population who are not able to find a decent school for their children. But I begin with and end with, at the end of the day, that it's just simply wrong not to allow parents to choose a functioning school, faith-based or not, for their children.
Well, Father Scully, here's a question that about messaging that I think ties into the trend lines. How do you get people to care about Catholic schools, to be open to school choice, if they don't know much about Catholic schools and, for whatever reasons, they may object to school choice? You know, you used the term social justice a couple times just then. Can that be part of the message? Will that help convince people?
I'm not an expert in marketing.
Well, neither am I.
But I guess I would say this, that, you know, I guess the most compelling argument for me at the end of the day, you know, comes down to this. I'm a political scientist by training, and that's what I'm a professor of that at Notre Dame. And, you know, every country has a creed whereby, you know, we look ourselves in the mirror and as a country, and we say, this is why we think our government and our state makes sense, and it's legitimate. And that is, our creed in this country is one of equality of opportunity. That's the central tenet of our creed that we promise to every citizen, that every child will have an opportunity, and we call it equal opportunity. We actually say that in our Constitution. Every child will have an equal opportunity to realize his or her potential. And that is simply false. You know, that is simply false in this country. So you know, I just think that how can we look in the mirror and kind of say that, yeah, American democracy is a functioning fair democracy when we don't allow kids and parents to have a decent opportunity to escape the poverty into which they have been often born. So I think that, for me, is the most important messaging device. It's a question of just how we think about ourselves as a just society and as a fair society. Now, I would hope at the same time that people would also understand that from just building a civil society, that if you can imagine what would happen to the United States as a democracy, if you only have state-run schools, state-functioning schools, state-supported schools, and you eliminate the private, faith-based, and other private actors in the educational arena, that does not bode well for the vibrancy of civil society and ultimately for the quality of America's democracy. Not to mention the impact that these failing public schools have on our economy and our competitiveness. So it seems to me that, I suppose I'm a little over the top on this issue, but from my perspective, I simply don't understand the alternative perspective. I mean, how can you look at a family and say, no, you're actually going to have to go to that school because that's the school you were able to afford? I mean, that's just wrong, you know? Anyway.
Well, of course, I agree with you. You know, the social justice and equal opportunity arguments obviously resonate well with me. But, you know, even amongst my friends, sometimes it's hard to convince them. You know, there's a certain narrative that's been in place for a long time, and it's sunk down deep into a lot of people. And, you know, I guess I always try, even though certainly not a marketing person either, I always try to find ways to get an argument that will resonate with them and make them, you know, pause a little bit and think twice and question, you know, these predispositions and perceptions that they have. I do often come around to the social justice and equal opportunity arguments. At the end of the day, I don't know how that does it move people in America, but hopefully it will.
You know, and just one final thought, and that is that obviously what motivates my soul in this issue of maintaining and strengthening and transforming our Catholic schools goes beyond the social justice issue. I mean, I'm a Catholic priest, and I actually believe that children are better off if their parents wish them to. They're better off in an environment where you can actually talk about values and faith and the central purpose of what it means to be a fully flourishing human being, you know. And I know you, in any context in the public arena, you can't, and it's not appropriate to move in that direction. But from my perspective, if I had children, I would absolutely do anything to make sure that my children had an opportunity to encounter Jesus Christ in the classroom. So I guess, you know, just in terms of full disclosure, I'm talking about opportunity, and I mean it. And I'm talking about human dignity, and I mean it. I'm talking about social justice, and I mean it. But I'm also motivated personally by my own conviction that children ought to have an opportunity to meet the person of Christ. And also, parents ought to have an opportunity to educate their children in a value-centered environment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, if you don't mind, I had a couple of quick sensitive questions for you, if you don't mind, if I could just hit
on a couple.
Well, the first one has to do with charter schools. You know, we at Redefined, we of course believe the more options, the merrier. But clearly there are some concerns that some choice options are chewing away at others, and there is some evidence that charter schools are cutting into Catholic school enrollment. What are your thoughts there?
Let me just take the counter position to that. Imagine if it were the Catholic perspective or the faith-based perspective that, we really don't want charter schools operating because they're taking clients away from us because parents have decided that the value proposition is more compelling. Well, we would then be no better in terms of what we're trying to do for children than some of the forces in education that are confining those choices currently. So I would be quite opposed to that perspective. I'm all for competition. I'm all for choice. And if we can't make a value proposition that is compelling enough for parents that they're willing and prepared to make the kind of sacrifices that are implied in choosing a faith-based option, then we ought to get out of the business.
Well, but Father Scully, is it a fair fight? I mean, is it a fair competition if the charter school is free or tuition free, and there is no school private school choice program to allow funding to follow the child to the faith-based school? You know,
I'm not stepping down. My response on that was presuming that we're in agreement that the broadest array of choices are available. So that I was presuming in your question, given the context, and perhaps I did so incorrectly, that we're assuming tax credits and vouchers.
Oh, no, no.
If we're not assuming that, then I say absolutely not.
I mean, okay, well, that's what I thought your position would be. Yes, sir.
My apologies. No, that would be an extremely cynical argument okay. from the charter sector. We ought to have public choice but not private choice. That's just cynical. That's ridiculous. Why would that make any sense? I was just assuming that, we have a rich tax credit and voucher environment, like is, thanks be to God, the case in the state of Florida increasingly.
Right.
I was just assuming we would have a rich tax credit environment and that in that case, let's go toe to toe, baby. I would take quality Catholic school education and put it against any public option at any point.
Okay. Well, Father Scully, this was great. I did not mean to keep you on the phone this long. You've given me so much of your time, and I'm grateful. Thank you so much for taking some time out for us today.
I am. Ron, I am. Thanks so much, and God bless you and your efforts.
All right. You take care.